Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Liberation is a must. Hey, 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 hey. Oh, well, now, yeah. Slavery, oh, slavery. We still live in slavery. Slavery, oh, slavery, yeah. Look around, it's still slavery. Slavery won't provide a job. Slavery driving the people mad. Make no money, you send war out to feed hungry families. Yes, to feed hungry families. Feed hungry families. They took the chains from off our feet, yet our minds are still bound, yeah. Just like the boundaries in South Africa, they divided and conquered us all. That's why we Africans them fall. That's why we Africans them fall. Slavery, oh slavery, yeah. We still living in slavery. Slavery, oh slavery. Look around, it's still slavery. Slavery built ghettos for the poor and creating uptown for the rich. Makes it so appealing over there. Enough of them get rich and sweet. Enough of them get rich and sweet. Trying I never get well headed yet. So slavery, oh slavery, yeah. We still living in slavery. Slavery, oh slavery. Look around, it's still slavery. Look at the workers in the free zones, working away their bones. Just like my brothers in South Africa, the land is ours, but we're still not free. The land is ours, but we're still not free. Oh, well, now, liberation is a must. Hey, 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 hey. We must do the work, and you need all the crap. Oh, those kind of things, John knows they must stop. You feed one child, and you starve the other. Lock away my brothers, and still raping my sisters. We Africans must fight, this victory will be good over evil. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Cause we never be satisfied, no, no, no.
Shalom Nation, Shalom listeners, I'm Antagenier Ben Israel of the Tribe of Benjamin. This is Come Out of Her, My People Outreach Program on Blog Talk Radio. Today is Wednesday, June 4th, and our topic is Easier Said Than Done. Easier Said and Done. Today I have with me our dear Officer Robert Ben Israel. Are you there, Officer?
Shalom, I come here. Can I be heard?
Yes, sir. Shalom. Do you have any current events for us today, sir?
Yeah, I have one current event I bring forth to the relatives. Okay, it comes from www. make sure I'm able to be heard. www.theeconomiccollapseblog.com.
The title, Who Needs the United States, Not Russia and China?
Now, I know it's been all over the news, but for the most part, brothers and sisters are pretty much knowledgeable as to what is transpiring here in terms of international geopolitical affairs and things of that particular nature. However, we always go over and beyond the situation to get to any new viewers or anybody who is just now learning about this particular tribe's Aboriginal nation. So before that, we welcome you, and we also we always try to tune it in, just try to set the show up, to try to correspond with the title and to pretty much open up your chakras. So as I'm going to begin, it says, Russia and China have just signed what is being called the gas deal of the century, and the two countries are discussing moving away from the U.S. dollar and using their own currencies to trade with one another. This has huge implications for the future of the U.S. economy, but the mainstream media, in the United States is being strangely quiet about all of this. For example, this is what the author of this article is saying. For example, I searched CNN's website to see if I could find something about this gas deal between Russia and China, and I did not find anything. But I did find links to top stories entitled Celebs Who Went Full Red and Adorable Kid Tugs on Obama's Ear. Is it any wonder why the mainstream media is dying? If a particular story does not fit their agenda, they will simply ignore it. But the truth is that this new agreement between Russia and China is huge. It could end up fundamentally changing the global financial system, and not in a way that would be beneficial for the United States. Russia and China have been negotiating this natural gas deal for 10 years, and now it is finally done.
Russia is the largest exporter of natural gas on the entire planet, and China is poised to become the world's largest economy in just a few years. This new $400 billion agreement means that these two superpowers...
Yes, sir.
You are going in and out, so I'm not sure if you can be heard over the air. So if you want,
okay,
you can start back over and try to, keep the mic closer to you. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, brother. The mic is actually closer. I'm just trying to make sure. Which part was I not clear at, brother?
You were going in and out, so if you want, you can start from the top.
All right. The title is entitled, Who Needs the United States, Not Russia and China? Russia and China have just signed what is being called the gas deal of the century, and the two countries are discussing moving away from the U.S. dollar and using their own currencies to trade with one another. This has huge implications for the future of the U.S. economy, but the mainstream media in the United States is being strangely quiet about all of this. For example, I have searched CNN's website to see if I could find something about this gas deal between Russia and China, and I did not find anything. But I did find links to top stories entitled Celebs Who Went Full Red and Adorable Kid Tucks on Obama's Ear. Does it any wonder why the mainstream media is dying? If a particular story does not fit their agenda, they will simply ignore it. But the truth is that this new agreement between Russia and China is huge. It could end up fundamentally changing the global financial system, and not in a way that would be beneficial for the United States. Russia and China have been negotiating this natural gas deal for 10 years, and now it is finally done. Russia is the largest exporter of natural gas on the planet, and China is poised to become the world's largest economy in just a few years. This new $400 billion agreement means that these two superpowers could potentially enjoy mutually beneficial relationships for the next 30 years. All right. And you guys can go ahead. I'm not going to go ahead. There's a lot more to this article, but we don't have a lot of time to really go through the full article. So what I'm going to do is I give you brothers and sisters a chance to check it out for yourself. It's entitled, the place where you can find it, www.theeconomiccollapseblog.com. And it is entitled, Who Needs the United States, Not Russia and China? And back to you, brother.
Yes, sir. Thank you for that. Now, today's topic is actually a question and a statement. So the question is easier said than done, and the statement is no, easily said and done, referring to self-government. So as you saw, the brother read earlier that the United States dollar is crashing, and it has been crashing for a very long time. It has been crashed, I should say. They are not operating with so-called money. They're operating with what is called legal tender, and a lot of people, you know, have love for money and such and don't understand what it really is about or what's going on with the dollar that they so much love and cherish. Throughout our lives, we're told what to do and when to do it. It's not that we here at Tribes of Aboriginal Nations think that no one should tell us what to do or no one should tell anyone what to do. But if you're not governing yourself and doing the things that you should be doing, then you have no choice but to be governed. The thing is, if you don't have the mental capacity and the mindset to be able to do these things and to study and to learn how to govern oneself, then you definitely should be governed. And someone should be controlling your moves, your every move, and your affairs. Now, when we say it's easier to self-govern than it is not to, that just means that if you study, learn, and implement the things to govern one's own affairs, then it comes easily, and there's no resistance in your thoughts to hinder that self-governance. If it's if it's thought of and done as second nature, then you'll teach it to your offspring, and they will do the same, and it will become their way of life. Then it will be easy, because you won't know any other way to conduct your own affairs. Think about this. Imagine two neighbors with identical homes and yards, but one creates greenhouses and gardens that he grows all types of vegetables in. Then imagine the other neighbor knocking on the door of the one that grows his own produce, asking him to give him some vegetables or to even purchase some of his vegetables from him. Does anyone see anything wrong with that? If you don't or justify it any way that it's okay, then maybe you have to change your way of thinking, because there's no reason that the neighbor with the same soil and yard space can't do the same for his own family. The only difference between the two is a lack of knowledge and or self-government. Brother, do you have anything you want to comment on that?
Yeah, brother. Can I be heard? Can I be heard clearly?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I'm going to try to speak into the phone as much as I can, so this way we don't have any more discrepancies. Now, when looking at the title, Easier Said Than Done, easier said than done. No, it's easily said and done. Now, if you break down the word said, it can mean informed. If you break down the word done, it could mean completed and finished. Or it can also mean an expression of agreement as on the settlement of a bargain between two parties. Then represents a comparison. And when you're dealing with an unequal comparison, it introduces an alternative or denotes a difference in kind, place, style, or identity. It's used to introduce a rejected choice and expressions of preference. So in other words, when you say easier said than done, what you are saying is that your talk about what it is what you intend to do is greater than the accomplishment of doing it. Our people talk about a lot of things but don't really get down to it. We talk about, I'll do it later, or I will do it as soon as. Well, brothers and sisters, you're talking about when you're going to self-govern isn't about your individual perspective of when. It's actually going ahead and actually doing it. In nature, when do you see any animal or species that has the time to think about going after what is required for subsistence? You really don't. They go after what it is that's needed and required and go get it.
Same thing with you brothers and sisters. Now, we were under the curses for 400 years, and during those 400 years, we were clueless as to our proper nationality. One decade, we were Negroes. Another, we were colored. Another, we were black. Another, we were Afro and African American. Which of these are we, or are we still unsure? Let's go back to Deuteronomy 28:68. It basically gives an indication of it, to paraphrase it. When it speaks about bringing a group of people into Egypt again, Egypt meaning bondage, with ships, who are the only group of people to come into a place to where they would be in bondage on ships? It is you, the North American Negro. Now, that time of confusion is over, and today our dear brother priest has brought it upon us to know who we are, number one, and number two, to do that which is required of those who are hearkening to his words, and that is self-govern. So, brothers and sisters, what are you waiting for? Think for a minute and look around at your present condition. Are you satisfied with what could be your eventual future, or do you seek something greater? You have to think about this, assess that, and deal in terms of reality, and properly self-analyze and properly analyze your surroundings and your situations around you, and then come to that particular agreement. Because as the article that I brought forth states, is that people, these other countries, are moving more and more away from this U.S. dollar. Once that starts becoming more of the trend going on, brothers and sisters, it's not going to be too good. So, brothers and sisters, we got to get to the point to where we can come to a place where we can self-govern, take care of our own affairs, take care of our own situations, and do what was required to us by nature. Back to you, brother.
Yes, sir. Thank you for that. And, you know, I see this lack of self-government on many different levels around me, but also around the world. Take, for instance, the Caribbean islands. They all claim to be independent, which should mean that they rely on their own efforts, resources, to determine the value of that particular country. But in reality, most of these islands, if not all, upon becoming independent, have taken loans at very high interest from the same country that once owned them forcefully. Following the lead of such democratic governments such as the United States and all of those that follow behind the United States. Now, when you think about it, high interest and loans are just like slavery. As we were taught here in tribes of Aboriginal nations through the scriptures, interest is forbidden and is called usury. The correct way for those islands to really be independent would have been to conduct trade with one another, pool their natural resources, and implement export, import, and exchange, and continue to grow fruits and vegetables commercially as their oppressors once had them doing for free for 400 years. But unfortunately, the leaders sell out the export industry, and instead of allowing the natives to gain from these resources, some of them put laws in place to restrict the natives from cultivating and selling crops on a larger scale anywhere in their own towns. And only the politicians and their families reap the benefits from those industries. They also allow their colleagues from other countries and foreigners that are strangers to come in and set up businesses that they could have allowed their own natives to create and grow the nation's economy. This type of greed and reliance on foreign nations to do what an organized people could do for themselves is a perfect example of a lack of self-government. So you see, even nations that seem organized lack self-government. Another good example of this is the United States Incorporated, that has been bankrupt from 1789 up to the present. For those on the call or listeners who don't know, when a nation falls into bankruptcy, it remains for 70 years concurrently until they have totally paid off the debt incurred from taking loans to operate as a nation while under this bankruptcy. And I'm not just saying this or saying that they're bankrupt off the top of my head or for some biased reason. This is a known fact that can be verified if one does the right research and studies. But let me help you understand a bit about the how and why. I mentioned earlier that a nation's bankruptcy lasts for 70 years, and the United States has been bankrupt from 1789. So let's do some math. Add 70 to 1790, you get 1859. Excuse me. Then add another 70 to 1859, and you get 1929. Now, what historical event happened to the U.S. in 1929? For those who guessed it, you're right. The Great Depression, which led to the confiscation of all the gold from the people. This put an end to the gold standard, which meant the dollar was and is no longer backed by gold. So, yes, the dollar is worthless. The only thing backing the U.S. dollar is the faith and energy of the person. So how can anyone allow some entity to govern them that can't govern themselves financially? And with that, I pass it back to you, brother, if you have any comments on that.
Yeah, brother. Once again, when I think of this particular title, I look at it from the standpoint of the average, you know, average one of our brothers and sisters. And like at times, I can sit back and, you know, think about this and what it could possibly be. You know, and we all have to agree with this particular perspective because it's reality. And it is what it is, because our people get so comfortable with their current existence. They look at things like, well, I got me a job, money in the bank, my wife, my kids, I'm just cooling. I got an IRA, benefits, everything I need. New technology coming out every day to assist me with doing things I don't feel like doing. This is good enough for me. Well, when you work for a job, you're a slave. And what you're doing is taking away from your ability, subtracting your energy to make someone else's dream come true, as well as help him build his dream while you in turn, basically that if you could turn that mentality around, you could be building towards your own dreams and bettering your own well-being, which is what the Most High Almighty intends for us to do. Here's some questions you got to ask for a person in that particular existence. Are your Federal Reserve notes really secure in that bank? Will you be able to constantly do this comfortably for years to come? Will that IRA money really be there when you need it? Are you really getting benefits? Do you really need that job? Is technology working for you or against you? What happens if they decide that they can get more productivity with less of an absentee rate, less of sick pay, less Federal Reserve notes to dish out, can export that job you say you need to a country that will help them reap more of a profit? What happens when technology gets so rampant that you don't even have the desire nor need to get out of bed and become so docile that you no longer become a prospective commodity? Ask yourself these questions, and also ask yourself, what will my kids think about me, common language kids, when they have to pay $1,000 for one credit, or how about one course? I don't know if that's the way it is now. I don't know if it's that high now, but the way things are going, it will get there. How will they get the education necessary to sustain themselves when they get older? Will they live as you have lived? Will they recognize a fallacy, find something wrong with their existence, seek out a proper remedy, and do it according to nature, therefore making you look foolish? Will this job be able to sustain a house? Will your wife agree? Will she really, really stick with you? Will she file for divorce? Will she seek alimony and child support? Will you be able to survive the rest of your life with that which you're comfortable with right now? Can you maintain your standard of living along with child support and alimony? I leave you with these particular questions, brothers and sisters, to decide. Back to you, brother.
Yes, sir. You know, when you were mentioning those things as far as to the things that people are comfortable with, you know, it brought to mind many things, and I guess, you know, people on a whole feel that there is nothing more to life than what it is, like, you know, the ones before them, their ancestors did or went through, and if they are doing a little bit more as far as to financially, then they're okay. They'll settle with that. They settle for that. But to me, it just seems like they're selling out, you know, and many times, the laziness or the lack of wanting to find out certain things is what stops us from even knowing that there's a better way or there's things that you can do or things that you could learn or you can, you know, get with a body of people that will help you understand certain things and understand that there is a better way out. There is things that you can do to actually govern yourself. And as I stated earlier, it may seem like it's hard to do, or, you know, that procrastination or the laziness might make one feel like, oh, I'd rather do this because it's easier. But trust me, it's harder to go through the things that you'll be going through if you don't, you know, straighten up your affairs and take hold of your affairs and do the things that's correct under natural law. Because if someone else is dictating your every move and telling you what to do and the things that you should do or not do when it comes to yourself and your loved ones, then that's not natural law. As our brother mentioned earlier, you know, even the smallest animal in nature doesn't hesitate to make a move to, you know, supply for themselves and their families. They do the things that's necessary within nature to get the things they need so they can continue to survive. So what we have changed that into is second nature to us has turned into someone else governing you and telling you what moves to make, what moves you can't make. And, you know, we're not speaking of illegal things. We're not speaking of doing anything that's going to mess with your well-being or your family's well-being. We're telling you to do things that will further you along the lines of prospering in a way where generations to come after you will be proud that they had someone before them that set the path for them, that set up things, you know, as far as to the future of them prospering and them having a way to even not just leave things for them, but show them exactly how it's done so that they could keep that going for generations after them. And these are the things that we teach in Tribes of Aboriginal Nations. We make sure that your family will be prosperous for generations to come. And that should be natural law. That should be the forces of nature working through man, from the Most High through man. Because when you rely on something or anyone, that means you're not doing it yourself, and you are not even going to, the only thing you're going to teach your offspring to do is to actually follow your lead. And as the brother stated earlier, technology and all of those things are going to be in place. So now if you're lazy to the extent where you have someone else doing, whether it be your paperwork, your court cases, or, you know, deals that you could be making or doing yourself, someone else is doing them for you, there's two things that can happen. You can actually lose track of what's going on and you can get cheated. You could actually sign yourself away in a contract, sign your soul or sign, you know, anything that's of monetary value away. And later on, your offspring, because you're not teaching them to do those things, you're teaching them to rely on others. With the technology that's on the way or that's here now, they're going to be less informed and be on the track of having less of a hands-on than you did, and you didn't have your hands-on from the beginning. So it's going to, imagine 2-3 generations down the line, I mean, it'll be a messed up thing to even think about it. I mean, what will they be like, you know? And I think of that all the time, and I try to instill in my children and try to let them know the things that they should be doing and try to get them out of, you know, the way society has things set up that they fall into if you don't have your hands on, you know, in on their affairs and the things that they're doing and show them how it's done. So with that, brother, I yield and pass it back on to you.
Yes, sir, brother. Thank you for that. I just want to bring forth an article. I'm going to bring forth an article to the family, the relative, excuse me. I think it's in Australia, but it's something to think about because this is going to be happening on a global scale. It's entitled Budget 2014, Food Banks Concern Welfare Cuts Could Lead to Rise in Demand. Food Bank Australia says it is concerned about how it will source extra food to meet a possible increase in demand if changes to welfare go ahead. Food bank charities in the United Kingdom have reported thousands more people turning to them for help since welfare reforms were introduced there in 2013. Food Bank Australia says the welfare changes outlined in this week's federal budget could see a similar situation occur locally. Jerry Anderson, the CEO of Food Bank New South Wales, says the organization was already expecting to see an increase in demand in coming years. In the next 3 years, our estimate is our demand will double. So we'll go from about 5,000 tons, I guess that's the currency, in this financial year, which finishes at the end of June, in 3 years' time, to that being 10,000 tons. However, he says there are now fears that welfare changes could see the increase in demand supersede what has been predicted. Mr. Anderson says families are already under pressure because of the general toughness of the economy and higher petrol prices. The thing that our survey showed was that it's lower income families who are affected. These people are still working, but they just don't have quite enough money to go around, he said. The budget has proposed a range of measures, including cuts to family benefits, which would save the government $1.9 million, changes to how young people access the dole at a saving of $1.3 billion and $450 million of savings and changes to the pension. It also includes plans to introduce a fuel excise and $7 GP co-payments. The Trussell Trust, UK's largest food bank network, says it has seen a 163% rise in the number of people accessing its services since the introduction of welfare reforms there in 2013. It says more people are being referred to its services than ever before. The Trussell Trust chairman, Chris Mould, says half of the referrals to food banks in 2013-14 were as a result of benefit delays or changes. In the last year, we've seen things get worse rather than better for many people on low incomes. It's been extremely tough for a lot of people. Welfare reforms in the UK have included sanctioning payments if certain conditions are not met, capping benefits, and cutting social housing allowances if people have a spare room. Now, I'm not going to go into it. There's a little bit more to that. You can find this article at www.abc.net.au. So, there you go, brothers and sisters. I mean, the things that are going to occur in these other particular nations, brothers and sisters, are going to occur here. It doesn't make a difference where it's at, you know, your economic situation in any particular region of the economy and your particular status in terms of your commerce and doing your business and anything of that particular nature will affect you. It doesn't make a difference where you are. It'll happen on a global scale. That's why it's very important, like Brother Priest has come on to the show and said that it's very important that you go ahead and self-govern, because you're going to get to this point to where you're going to need, and it's going to be a dependency factor to where you're going to be dependent on these governmental benefits and these governmental social programs to be able to help you and assist you in doing something to which you can be able to do for yourself. Brothers and sisters, we don't have to get to that particular point. We have tribes, Aboriginal nations right now. Brother Priest has brought it forth. We're here to tell you, brothers and sisters, that you do have remedy. In law, there's always remedy. There's remedy here right now as we're speaking. We're bringing this forth to you, brothers and sisters, to let you know that it's time. The curses are over, where we didn't understand what we were going ahead and doing. We didn't understand who we were. We didn't understand how to conduct ourselves in commerce. Now we have it. It's time, brothers and sisters, for us to really get it, quote unquote, done. Instead of saying it, now actually starting to go ahead and go do it. Otherwise, what you're seeing here is going to be the wind up being the result of you not being able to self-govern. And like I pointed out earlier, you do have a family structure in place. It may not be there. I mean, the worst thing that can happen to, let's speak to the brothers right now. Worst thing that can happen to the brothers is really your children, common language kids, being taken away from you, man. That is one of the worst things that can happen to you. And considering the fact that your woman, because of the fact that you're not handling your affairs properly, she's going out of her way and taking these kids from you. You know, whereas if you could have just took it upon yourself, self-governed, put it underneath the proper body of law, and deal with it in terms of government law and commerce, brothers and sisters, you won't ever have to worry about this particular situation. So I just wanted to point that out to the brothers and sisters. I had to let that be known. Brothers and sisters, it's time. The curses are up. They're lifted. We have a remedy, and it's time for you to go ahead and seek that remedy. So with that, I'll pass it back to you, brother.
Yes, sir. Thank you for that, sir. And I say again, if you can't govern yourself, or get with a body of people who are governing themselves and can show you how, then you have no other choice but to allow those that have power over you to dictate and control your major affairs. Here's some examples of the things that affect you that are controlled by those that govern you. You have marriages, births, buying of cars, homes, and land, education, licenses of your skills, and these are all controlled and governed through contracts such as certificates, registrations, titles, licenses, etc. In order to understand how these things work, it takes some research and study. But when you begin to comprehend why and how these things work, you will want to know more, especially for the benefit of knowing what it takes to free yourself and become totally self-sufficient. And, you know, it's just something that I always think of. You know, sometimes things might seem hard and tough, and you say, man, I got to do this paperwork, or I have to do this, you know, study this thing here for a test or what have you. But in reality, like when you were going through school, or some of you might still be in school, the tests that they're giving you in school, they're for you to learn something, but they're not for you to really implement certain things in your life then and there that you're dealing with. And as the brother mentioned earlier, we have affairs that we're going to be dealing with now, we've dealt with in the past that probably should be corrected, and it should excite you. It should make you feel like, man, I want to take care of this thing to change my situation or status, as we call it. You're going to want to do these things, and it's almost like it's the battery in your back, so to speak, as far as to getting yourself free from what we've been put into close to 500 years ago and has not been undone yet. And as the brother was stating, now is the time, because there is remedy. There is things that can be done to make you free. And they've always been there, but you cannot use these things, or it cannot be done until you are free in your mind. You have to say to yourself and know that, first of all, the curses are lifted. Second of all, you have to know who you are. You have to find yourself within this history, within the scriptures, because that's the actual beginning of written history. And you have to know who you are in there in order to implement the things that were put there by our ancestors for us to be able to free ourselves and to follow natural law and to follow under the law, statutes, and commandments of the Most High. And when you're not following those law, statutes, and commandments, then you will fall into the predicament that most of our people are in today, as far as to being ruled and governed by those that are evil, doers of evil, so to speak. And it's, you know, you have no choice. There are even people in churches that are probably moralistically correct. They don't lie, cheat, and steal as much as others, or they probably don't do some of those things at all, knowing, or if they do know, that they are actually under the rule of those that go around the world reaping havoc on innocent people, then that should be something that they want to come out from under. I mean, if they read the scriptures in the way it's supposed to be read, they'll realize that this nation that we're under right now is the same thing as Babylon, is the same thing as Egypt. There's no difference. So by them getting to contracts with them, as it says in the scriptures, we are not supposed to contract with the heathens or the Gentiles. Well, if they notice, they'll see that they're doing exactly what they're told not to do, and that's not following all the laws. So when we say that we're supposed to follow all the laws, statutes, and commandments of the Most High, we are stating that even following natural law, being self-sufficient and having self-governance, that's one of the laws. Trust me, if you read the Bible in the right way, you'll see that that's what our ancestors were doing. That's the only time that they were prosperous and were able to overcome their oppressors or anyone that were trying to, you know, conquer that nation. So it can be done again, as the brother said. It is being done again right now as we speak. And we are just here trying to make everyone know that, you know, that's not it. It doesn't end at you being governed by someone else. It doesn't end there unless you want it to end there. There's things that you can do to change that. There's things that you can learn that I'm guarantee you when you learn these things, it's going to be, it won't be hard. It will be easily done, as the topic states, you know, and you'll be able to say it easily and you'll be able to do it. And at the point where you're able to help your family, common language family, you'll be able to make sure that they understand it how you understand it, and it'll come easy for them. So what we're doing right now is, as our people on a whole, we're taking the easy way out. We're actually thinking that there's no other way. We're actually falling into the heathens' way of living, the Gentiles' way of living, thinking that that's the way things are supposed to be, when it's exactly the opposite of that. And if you read the scriptures the way you're supposed to read the scriptures, from the perspective of government, law, and commerce, you will see what it is that your ancestors did and laid out, and the blueprint that's there for you to actually correct the state of mind consciousness that you fell into. And with that, brother, I pass it back on to you. I yield.
Yeah, brother. Thank you for that.
Yeah, like the brother said, I mean, you know, there's something in the scriptures that states that it will be so easy that only a fool.
Excuse me, brother.
Yes, sir.
Yes, yeah, I think you're pulling away from the mic again or from the phone.
Okay. Well, what I'll do, because I don't want to have any more of those situations, we'll go straight to the callers and we'll see what the callers have to say. Area code 647-704. You're live on the air.
Peace and increase, nation. Peace and increase. Yeah, yeah, you know, it's about time that we ought to see really what's happening. And even though China and Russia have passed that agreement, you know, through contracting, that still affects all of the Americas, including North America, South America. So that's not only the United States of America. Because when it's, as Brother May mentioned, when it's properly read, it's shown that all nations' image is a representation of their power that they worship and that they acknowledge. Any nation that's willing to give up that which is most dear unto them is what is of true value unto them. The United States is not willing to give up what is definitely of true value unto them, because it's printed on their fiat script. That the image that's on the fiat script is a representation of their power and their God. Israel had representation of their, Israel had the images of their power and all those, and all the things that came from their, from their God on their actual money and on the things that they use to trade. You know, so these things they were willing to sacrifice in order to receive the divine mindset, to use the comprehension with the discernment, with the capacity in their mentality, with the capacity to reason, you know, capacity of mind. They were able to reason and contrast with the capacity of mind that they were had. And they were able to reason and go into the power source and be directed by that power, to not be directed by emotion. We got to come out of this emotional thing that we want to, no, we don't want to be tied onto the Bible, because the Bible only has a bunch of wussy men, and that's the scenario, what people are telling you, and nobody's not reading these things for their own self. So I'm making mention that those who govern themselves, self-govern themselves, are governing themselves after natural law. These are soldiers and warriors that have, that have and do all these things. They're not fearful for any other government or any other nature that is not walking in alignment with the law of nature. But when it comes to the law of nature, they don't fear nothing unless it is coming from the Almighty himself. That's all I have to say.
Yes, sir, brother. Thank you for your word of kindness. And
absolutely,
the brother's right. Yes, sir. The brother's right. I mean, there is nothing to fear besides the power of the Most High. I mean, a lot of people, and I've experienced people, you know, and I've heard it through Brother Priest and other brothers, that someone might be saying, you know, you got to be careful what it is you're saying or the things that you're doing and this and that. Trust me, they do things and they have fear of the Most High. These same people that are the oppressors or are the ones that are controlling or government or trying to govern everyone, they have fear of the Most High. And it seems as though our people have lost the fear for the Most High, but they fear those that are governing them. So our brother is right on point, and we thank you for that, Brother Andrew. And do we have any other callers, brother?
Ta-da, Brother Andrew. Yes, we will go on to proceed to the next one. Thank you for that, brother.
All praise to the Almighty.
Absolutely. All praise to the Most High Almighty. Okay, we have area code 347-498. You're live on the air.
Well, greetings. Good afternoon, brothers and sisters.
Shalom, man.
Shalom. Shalom. This is Brother Gavin. And this topic is very, very interesting and should be very well practiced by every individual. And, you know, hopefully it sunk in with everyone that's on this call. So pretty much what everything you said, I just, what came to mind as you guys were talking was a phrase always I hear, you know, older folks say, or people say within the church, you know, mostly organized churches, is, you know, God helps those who help themselves. Nutshell, everything you said. And I just wanted to reinstate it with that statement, you know? And like I said before, I definitely want to join officially so I can keep my mind 100% self-governance law. Also, commerce on the level that I always wanted to do, always wanted to achieve. I see myself coming on home like you said,
Milton.
Got out here.
Yes, sir, brother. Yeah, we had a little bit of a crowd hearing you. I'm not sure if you're traveling, but we thank you for your word,
yeah.
Brother.
Okay, yeah, that's better. That's
sorry,
better. Yeah. Can
I'm
you just
sorry,
repeat
I'm
a little bit what you said?
I'll start all over, like, you know, from the beginning. You know, from the, I'm sorry about that, family, about that disruption, that you couldn't hear me. I'm traveling. But what I was saying in a nutshell of what you guys, I hope everyone really took to heart what you guys were speaking on, because that's a very, very imperative topic for everyone to live by and strive for, you know, self-governance. And learning commerce and you know, how to interpret the law. Excuse me. So I really feel that it goes to the same that I don't know if you heard when I said it, but I reiterated that you know, growing to church and even outside of church and hearing our elders, you know, growing up saying the statement, God helps those who help themselves. So, you know, in a nutshell, everything you said should be, you know, taken well, you know, well with that point that I just reiterated. And, you know, I myself, you know, I hope to real soon, because I'm willing to real soon to cross over in this nation. I could be 100% self-governance and, you know, self, you know, commercing, having more understandings and overstandings of how to do my own business and transactions within the commerce internationally and nationally, and also having more understandings of the interpreting of a lot of the laws that you guys go over week by week on these calls. So with that, I'll just yield. But definitely,
you know, I'm ready to come on home myself real soon.
Praise the Lord.
Yes, sir, brother. Yes, sir. Thank you for that, brother.
Praise the Lord. Absolutely, brother. And when you come within Tribes, Aboriginal Nations, everything that you said, brother, you will get it plus more, brother. Believe me, I'm here to bear witness, not because in a biased sense, because we're here obviously representing Tribes, Aboriginal Nations, but for real, foreign on the record, you will get exactly what it is that you're looking for, brother, to properly deal with, properly go about self-governing yourself in a proper capacity, you know, doing
right.
things in terms of your business and things of that particular nature, brother. So you will get that and then some coming with the Tribes of Aboriginal Nation. And this is not a sales pitch or anything like that. This is the reality of it. Once you come into this nation, you'll be able to see that for yourself. Absolutely, brother. So we'll be waiting for you to come on, brother.
Yes, sir. Yes, appreciate it. And that's well said. And, hopefully we'll talk real soon.
Yes, absolutely, God. Shalom.
Yes, sir. And I just wanted to add also that as far as to, there's a lot of sayings out there, and we come across people that they have a lot to say, and the most prevalent one that I hear a lot is the one that we were speaking, you know, I wouldn't say so far as to against it, but we're trying to make the people aware of the things that they're saying gives energy to what they're actually doing. And a lot of times we hear them say, when you're in Rome, do as the Romans do. And I don't know if they actually realize what it is they're saying. You know, as I mentioned earlier, the ones that are the world leaders in the past and ancient times all the way up to now has always been those who, you know, want control of the people and want power and those things. And if you're going to say, when we're in Rome, do as the Romans do, then you cannot be one of the Most High's children. I mean, it's just, that's like a total contradiction of what the Most High and those that follow the Most High stand for. So I just wanted to mention that. And yes, they do say what our brother just mentioned as far as to God helps those who help themselves. But one of the main things they should be helping themselves with is coming out from under that so-called control. And if they realize what it is that's really going on and, you know, want that information, want that knowledge for them to really say, well, you know, what is it that's really going on around me? I'm, you know, not just watching the news and listening to others, but doing your own research. That way you'll be able to understand what goes on behind commerce. I mean, we're all involved in commerce every day of our lives, and we don't know what is really going on behind commerce. I mean, yes, we learn a little bit of it in school, but the way that it's taught in school is for you to actually be out there working for an employer, which is AKA slave master and such, which makes you a bond servant. So if that's what they're being taught in school and not being told somewhere else what's going on behind the scenes of that or what makes that possible or where it really came from, as we know in Tribes, that system is set up for those that are Gentiles, for those that are not aware of what the Most High really is, and those who are not aware of what it is to govern themselves, that system is set up for those people. So we're not telling anyone you deserve it. We're not saying that that's the only way to be. We're actually telling you that there is a way out, and there is a way to govern yourselves under the body of law of the Most High Almighty. And the only way is to separate, because you cannot be of two masters. You have to serve one and not the other. And there are people out there that believe that they're serving one, but they're actually serving two. And I believe, don't quote me on this, but I believe when I was in grade school, we learned probability, and I believe negative and positive implies negative, if I'm not mistaken, brother. Do you remember that?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay, so that means if you're on the bad and thinking that you're on the good, you're actually on the bad. So, you know, they have to shake loose of one. It would benefit them to shake loose the correct one and be under that body of law, under the correct ruling or governance, so to speak. And with that, brother, I yield and pass it back on to you.
Thank you for that, brother. And a point that you just made, brother, when you look at it, and going back to exactly what you're saying, when you have something that is being perceived as being negative, when it adds and links up with something that is positive, what winds up happening? Like, let's just say -2 + 4. It outweighs that negativity. Mm-hmm. So that's definitely what is going on with this particular situation. When you're dealing with natural law would represent the positive. Anything outside of natural law would represent the negative. So the negative, once you go ahead and get more of a positivity, which is adding with that particular number, and then you go up against it with the negative, it rules out that negativity. So basically, right, once you get more back within yourself and natural law, basically it's going to rule out that negativity. And also, like the brother had pointed out, you can't serve two masters. You definitely can't serve two masters, brothers and sisters. You have to serve one or the other. Go ahead and say, oh, man, I can be rich and have this particular mindset and things of that particular nature, and then come on over and deal with the, you know, tribes and things of that particular nature. No, you can't. Because the bottom line is this. We don't tolerate any particular forms of ego. We're working on it. Brothers and sisters, we all have to work on our egos. We are, as we're speaking on this line here, and we just don't tolerate any of that particular behavior. We come here as a body of people and brothers and sisters coming here, communing, cutting together, and dealing with it in a proper capacity, which is the way the Most High Almighty granted it to be. Anything of that beast stays outside and stays with the beast. We don't have anything to do with anything dealing with that beast after it comes time for us to go ahead and move forward with what we're going to move forward to. So you're going to serve either that beast and you're going to stay in that beast-like mentality, or you're going to come on over here to the tribes of Aboriginal nations and upgrade your mentality to deal with that godly existence, brothers and sisters. And I don't say that in terms of a way to which glorifies us as individuals. It's just dealing with the Most High Almighty Creator in that particular concept, not in terms of one going ahead and looking at themselves as a god. We don't want that, any particular situation like that. So it's very important to touch up on what you just said, brother. And with that, I will yield, and you can send us on home, brother. Shalom.
Yes, sir. Thank you for your good word and kindness, as usual. And, you know, it's just something where we just have to make the message go out to the masses of our people. And we know there's many of them that have not a clue as to what we're discussing right now. And in some form or fashion, the message is going to get to them. The question is, will they understand it, or will they adhere to it when they hear it? And we definitely are trying to get it to you as need be. And once again, we can be reached on www.templeofthemosthigh.org or www.tribesofaboriginalnations.org. And with that, I say shalom and the Most High bless to everyone. Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, relatives.